everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is going to be maybe a bit of a hard one to categorize, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful lobster. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Kendall Long, who wrote in via Instagram. I hope you enjoy your episode, Kendall, and I so appreciate the animal content that you yourself post as well. If you want to request an animal to learn about, like Kendall did, you can do so in a couple of different ways. One is through the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts, which I have recently regained access into. Another way is to send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. There is also a third option that has not been redeemed just yet. It is via carrier pigeon. So if I ever get one of those, I promise that that animal request will skyrocket to the top of the list. I want to thank all of you for your constant submissions of animals that I have never even heard of, and in researching just a little bit about them, I get quite excited for future episodes, and I'm very excited to learn about the lobster as well. So for those of you that don't like the initial part in which I speak with you guys and read your reviews and things like that, then feel free to go to the timestamp in the description to find out where to skip all of my rambling. And so I am going to read a review that is coming all the way from the United States of America. And this listener is named Slee Lin on Apple Podcasts. And Slee Lin writes, "I have to admit, this podcast made me laugh when I first heard it, but it grew on me, and now I listen to you every night while I'm falling asleep. Your voice relaxes me, and I love learning interesting facts about animals that I didn't know." Thank you for your wonderful review, Slee Lin. And so if I give you a good chuckle at times, then that is great, as some people say that laughter is the best medicine, and especially if it is at Steph Wolf's expense. But I am glad that the podcast has also grown on you, and that you can join me every week along with the rest of our animal podcast family. That includes those of you listening from all around the world, from the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada, my neighbors in Canada. But the show is growing every day with so many awesome listeners. If the podcast has helped you, as it has helped Slee Lin, leaving a review is one of the best ways to sort of support the show. Though your listenership already means the world, and leaving a review is more on the superfluous side of things, it is still such a big way that you can help grow the show. Before we get into the relaxation portion of the episode, I am just going to say where I got my facts from. Every time, the facts will be posted in the description of the episode, and feel free, and I encourage you to continue your research on these animals if you find them to be very, very cool. So I got my facts from onekindplanet.org, livescience.com, and fisheries.noaa.gov. I also got the etymology of the word lobster, just meaning where the name lobster comes from. I got that from etimonline.com. And now let us go to the portion in which we try to pay attention to where we're carrying some of that tension from the day, even at the beginning of the day to the end of it. For you, it might be your head. It might be the clenching of your jaw. It might be your legs or your arms. For me, in this case, it is actually mostly in my head and in my face. I'll find that when I smile a little too much, when I get those big old stupid grins on my face, that my face will hurt if I do not sort of manage it. And so I would like you to do your best to try to let go of those tense parts of your body as we go into this immersive experience together with me, Steph Wolf, into the oceans and seas where the lobster resides. I do wish that I could play some sounds of a lobster, but because they don't really make that much sound, apart from possibly using their little claws or feet to walk on the ocean floor, I couldn't play anything at the beginning, but that is still a pattern that we are going to continue in the next episode. And so first of all, what is a lobster? A lobster is something that is known as a marine invertebrate. Possibly you have heard the word invertebrate before. What this means is that it belongs to a group of animals that do not have a notochord, which is a rigid cartilaginous spinal structure. Along with other invertebrates that lack a backbone, the lobsters are protected by that signature hard and tough exoskeleton that will provide them with that necessary structure to their bodies. And so these guys are very armored, but there comes times in which they will molt and their shell will sort of come off, and there will be a stage in which their shell is actually a bit soft. But that is for a future fact. And so when it comes to the lobster, there are two main types of lobster species, and that is going to fall into clawed lobsters and spiny lobsters. Clawed lobsters are going to have a pincer and something known as a crusher claw, which can be on either the left or the right, dependent on the lobster. And spiny lobsters do not have claws, but instead will have very large antennae and a harder shell than clawed lobsters. But as we can see here, there is sort of these distinguishing sets of characteristics between these two lobster species. And because many of you are listening from the United States, let us see what kind of lobsters are there in the US of A. There are two kinds of lobster-like crustaceans in United States waters. There is something known as the true lobster, also known as the American lobster, and it is designated as such to differentiate it from the kind of lobster that we just learned about, the spiny lobster. And they will be distinguished by two main differences. The true lobster, or American lobster will have claws on the first four legs, while the spiny lobster does not. But instead, the spiny lobster is going to have a pair of horns above the eyes, which the true lobster does not. To avoid any confusion over common names, we call the true lobster the American lobster, and the spiny lobster just the spiny lobster. And so if you're roundabout swimming in some of the waters in the United States, you might be able to see one of these two beautiful species of lobster. Let us go to a part of the lobster in which there is this sort of mystical aspect about them, in which popular culture really, really finds intriguing as it is. You may have heard something along the lines of lobsters being immortal, meaning that they never die. While this is not the case, there is a reason this myth has stayed along for quite some time and why it has arose in the first place. These big clawed crustaceans never stop growing. Although the rate at which they grow will decrease with age, this is probably why this myth has arisen. But let us not swing in the opposite direction and take credit away from something truly amazing. If this was to be compared with humans, for example, as many of you know, human beings stop growing, and be it fairly early when it comes to the life expectancy that we tend to see. And in fact, I think that many a time we have seen more of people shrinking than we do of them growing at a later age. This has to do with the wearing out of cartilaginous discs and things like that as we get older in age. But in the case of the lobster, they are going to continue growing for an extended period of time because they have a very long life expectancy. The lobster is not immortal, but it is still hard to figure out their age. And this is because these creatures molt, and they will leave almost nothing behind that could give some clues as to what their true age is. One researcher says that the lining of the stomach, the covering of the gills, the eyes themselves, all of the hard parts get taken out during this unbelievable molting process. But within the past few years, researchers have discovered that lobsters have teeth not in their mouth, but in their stomach that will persist throughout all of the molts. And these teeth have lines that may be akin to tree rings, which can help researchers decipher the particular lobster's age. I would suppose that brushing our teeth would be a little bit weird if our teeth were in our stomach. And so, while they do not live forever, they will continue growing throughout their entire life, and they are very long-lived creatures, especially for their size. Their estimated lifespans, if of course left alone with no chance of predation and healthy environment, they can grow to be more than 100 years of age. If lobsters live their entire 100 years of age, paired with continual growth, you can get some pretty big lobsters. And the largest American lobster on record was caught off of Nova Scotia in 1977. You know, Canada gets a lot of flack for being pretty boring, but I have to say that I am very proud that Canada may boast of its very big lobster. This particular lobster weighed 44 pounds, 6 ounces, and was 3.5 feet long. While very few lobsters will be able to reach such behemoth or mammoth proportions, the slipper lobster, which is a type of clawless lobster, is often only a few inches long. And so we see this huge range in the lobster species, in which one can be 3.5 feet long, while one is only a few inches. And so while the lobster is going to be growing, that outer armor or shell will not grow right alongside it, which will mean that as a lobster gets bigger and older, it will need to molt and form a completely new shell. And adult lobsters molt about once a year. So during this time in which they do not have that very hard exoskeleton and they are a bit vulnerable, the lobster is going to retreat into a hiding place and shed that exoskeleton. And so after molting, the lobster's body is going to be very soft, and it can take a few months for the outer shell to completely harden again. And lobsters are what are known as bottom dwellers. And of course, that's going to come with the term bottom feeder. And while this is sometimes used to be a derogatory insult, this, for the lobster, is where they love to be. Of course, they do not have that anatomical advantage when it comes to swimming quickly and in long distances. They will instead prefer to settle to the ocean floor, in which they can have some of those crevices and rocky little caves where they can feed and enjoy. This is not to say that they do not travel. Lobsters seem to love to travel. Not all of them, of course. For example, inshore lobsters tend to like to stay in one place and will seldom move more than a mile. But the deep water lobster, farther out on the continental shelf, will follow a seasonal migratory pattern shoreward in summer. The record travel so far for a lobster is 225 miles, covered by a lobster that was tagged off the continental shelf and recovered at Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. And so that is more than an Ironman. That is one tough lobster. And you might have heard something about the color of a lobster's blood, it being a blue color. And while that is true in a certain context, the lobster's blood is actually colorless. But when it is exposed to oxygen, it will develop that bluish color that some have come to pair with the lobster. And one other thing with colors is that if you ever see a two-toned lobster in terms of color, that is something that you ought to take a picture of. This is very rare because there is a 1 in 50 million chance of these lobsters coming out as being part one color and part another. if any of you ever see a two-toned lobster and happen to snap a pic of it, please send it in to the show. I would love to see it. And in terms of the anatomical design of the lobster, because they are invertebrates and their shell is that exoskeleton, it will be somewhat easier to be able to separate the lobster's body into different parts that are easily identifiable. And in the case of the lobster, its body has 19 different parts, each covered by its own section of shell. And these 19 different parts are going to include their total of 10 legs. And not only that, but say a leg, a claw, or antenna is lost, possibly to some kind of scuffle with another marine animal, it can grow it back and be replaced. These mechanisms ought not to be taken away from. All we have to do is imagine if human beings had these same sorts of capabilities. And indeed, it's something that baffles scientists a lot of the times and has them really wanting to figure out how these mechanisms can be applied in human life. Lobsters are not going to have very good eyesight, so the lobster is something that I can greatly relate with. But while they have very poor eyesight, this is compensated for with their highly developed sense of smell and taste. And you can imagine where they are bottom dwellers in many places of the water where they might not have too much light to work with. And so, eyesight is not going to be too important for them as smell and taste might be. And so you see how the lobster is pretty well adapted to where it likes to make its home. One other fact that I had to include is that a couple of lobsters will walk along holding claws on some occasions. And usually this is an older lobster leading a younger one. Now, I don't know how often this has been actually observed in the wild, but if this is not very common, please do not tell me, because I would like to think that lobsters just love holding hands everywhere they go, or holding claws, rather. Perhaps some of them are scared of the dark seawater, and the older lobsters are going to hold the claws of the younger ones and show them there is nothing to be afraid of here. Just enjoy some starfish and other fish that we enjoy to eat. And speaking of eating, they do have a reputation for being scavengers or even at times cannibals. But studies of wild lobsters show that they prefer live prey. If you are unsure as to what cannibalism means, possibly you have heard that in passing, but this just refers to animals that eat their own, so it is not something that is necessarily pleasant to think about. But although the lobster may eat other lobsters when they are in a captivity setting, such behavior has not been observed in the wild. So we may draw a possible correlation between lack of food or good environment to this sort of behavior. But in the wild, these bottom dwellers will feast on fish, mollusks, worms, and other crustaceans. So for some of those smaller sea creatures, seeing the lobster must be one heck of a sight. We can imagine if we as people being an average of 5.5 feet tall, that if we were to see a lobster that was 2 to 3 times our size with those big old claws, we would sure be afraid, and we would be justified in feeling that way. And here is one way in which you can tell the difference between a male and female lobster. If you look underneath their tail, the lobsters will have something known as swimmerettes on the underside of their tails that are used for swimming and during mating as well. The males will have modified swimmerettes that are sort of slender, while the female swimmerettes are flat and feathery in appearance. So just by those physical outward characteristics, you might be able to tell between a female and male lobster. And so let us move on to the final fact of the episode, which is the name lobster. Where exactly does it come from? And I have to say that the etymology of this word is one that is a bit convoluted and tough to follow. So I am only going to go a few steps backwards because it gets pretty confusing pretty quickly. So this large, long-tailed, stock-eyed, 10-legged marine shellfish starts going back from the early Middle English word lobster with a P instead of a B, lopister, from Old English lopester, which also means lobster, and then it goes back to a corruption of a Latin word locusta, which means marine shellfish or lobster. So that is where I am going to stop, though the next one goes to locust or grasshopper, which is of an unknown origin. Sometimes the etymologies of words can be a little bit convoluted because it can be difficult to track the lineage of particular words. Still, that is very cool nonetheless. Again, thank you, Kendall, for writing into the show, and I hope that you have enjoyed your episode. If any of you would like to have your own episode and learn about a particular animal, please send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram, or you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. The lobster is one of those creatures that has some seriously cool and unique characteristics which ought to prompt us to some serious reflection on the beauties of nature. And so I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you will join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.